Greetings to each of you and welcome as we continue our worship time together this morning. Again, it's a privilege to be in God's house and with His people, even though there aren't a lot of us. It's still a privilege that we have, and to remember why we're here, and that's to worship God and to bring Him glory and honor. I've chosen this morning to talk about the Lord's Prayer. So you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll read, we'll start with verse 5 and go through verse 15. Matthew chapter 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm going to go phrase by phrase through the Lord's Prayer here this morning, as we, because it entails so much of life in those words that Jesus spoke there to His disciples. In Luke 11, 1 through 4, is an account there similar, and it talks about one of the disciples came to Jesus and he asked Him, teach us how to pray. And so this is where we find ourselves here today in this portion of Scripture that's called Sermon on the Mount as well. There are six petitions in this model prayer. There's three that are relating more directly to God, verses 9 and 10, and then there are three that relate more to us, 11 through 13. And I want to talk about those. But first he starts out here and he talks about praying. So this is not all going to be about prayer necessarily, but it does enter into it, obviously, and it's a part of it. But it's in our praying, I guess, and how so many things in life that as we pray, we don't think about are not aware of sometimes of the things that we pray and what they mean, and especially the Lord's Prayer. And it's called a model prayer. And so it's not necessarily just that prayer is all we are to pray, but it's good to pray other prayers as well. But I've thought back, I wonder when the last time was that we recited the Lord's Prayer in public. I can't remember. And I know we've talked about it before. Others have at least. But we get slack and we forget for some reason. But I think it's very important. It's very fitting. And so hopefully this will remind us that, remind me at least, that I need to do this occasionally. He starts out here about praying, and obviously there was a problem here with the Pharisees, and Jesus called them strong words. He called them hypocrites, and because they love to stand out there and they love the attention. That's really what they were all about, to be seen of men. And so probably people would look at them and say, wow, they are very religious, they are very spiritual. We need to take note of them, and they love that. But Jesus says, don't do that. That's not the idea. But he says just the opposite. Go into your closet and shut the door. And don't make an announcement before you go there. Just go. Now, do you have to go in your closet? Do you have to find a little space, whatever? What's Jesus talking about here? I think it's simply go away by yourself. And there are times that it's good to pray as a group, to come together as a group. And I think it's fitting, and it's the way the church ought to operate, or as a family. But there are times that you need to go alone, and you need to have that time with God. And really, it needs to be every day. It really does. I know that's something we struggle with. It's something that we try to find hard. We find hard to have time to do that, or to take time, or to make the time. And as I was thinking of this yesterday morning, and just trying to get things together to get to the thrift store, and by 7:30, and I was running behind. And so I was going to do my prayer. And Loretta said, well, you could pray on the way. And I said, okay, that'll work. Well, that doesn't work. For me, it just doesn't work. I don't know about you. I know there's different ones that spend quite a bit of time on the road and driving, or depending on your work, what you do, you can pray, and you can. It's nothing wrong with that. But I find it distracting. It's hard for me to concentrate. One minute I'm praying, the next minute I'm looking at something I see, or something catches my attention, and then the next thing is 10 minutes, and I'm supposed to pray. I'm not sure how God looks at that, but it's sort of haphazard. So anyway, I think prayer is like the umbilical cord from a baby connected to its mother before it's born in the stomach. It's a lifeline for that baby. And I think prayer is the same thing for you and I. It's a lifeline between us and God. If we're going to have a vital and a good personal relationship with God, we're going to have to talk to Him. We talk about communication. It's about communication among ourselves. It's what creates problems in our marriages. It creates problems in our churches, in our businesses, in our work environment, because we don't communicate. And I'm probably the world's worst for that. So don't do as I do as I say. Anyway, I need to do better, and I want to. I think I have improved in sometimes, but sometimes I probably haven't. Don't ask my wife. But anyway, as Jesus, then he just enters into this. Anyway, he goes on to say, don't be like them. And don't make vain repetition. Just don't continue to say, I guess they had the idea that one place I read it, they called it ranting. Just on, over and over and over, and repeat, repeat. The more I repeat it, the more whoever I'm praying to, it will mean more to them, I guess. But not necessarily. Jesus said that's not the way to do it. He said, pray like this, in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. We have a loving, caring, providing Father in heaven that cares for us and takes care of us. And it indicates where our Father is. Our Father is in heaven. So where is heaven? And there's numerous scriptures, and I'm not going to get through this. I already know that. So we'll just maybe make two sermons out of this. But scientists say that there's a place somewhere up in the atmosphere that they can't describe it, but it's somewhere up among the stars and the moon and or up there in the galaxies, somewhere up there, but they don't know. And so we don't know either. Where is heaven? Well, the Bible would indicate, and there's numerous scriptures here that I was going to read, and some of them I will. We look up. When we talk about heaven, we look up. Heaven is up there where God is, and that's where God is, our Father. Psalm 97, verse 9, it says, "Thou, Lord, art high above the earth." These are only portions of those verses. Isaiah 55, 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Psalm 103, 11 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." So God is in heaven. That's what it tells us. And he says to pray that way. Consider, as you ask for things, as you come before God, consider your Father. Now, there are many other religions that pray, and I didn't look up any of these or do any background, but majority of them, if not all of them, they pray to someone, but not necessarily in heaven. They have someone that they consider their God, but I don't know that they call them our Father. I don't know. But you and I have that privilege to consider not only God, but Jesus as our brother, but God is our Father. Our Father in heaven, Jesus said. That's how you're to direct your prayer, because that's where your help's going to come from. As I said, he's loving, he's caring, he's a providing Father. Matthew 6, 26, he says he feeds the birds. And verse 32, then in that chapter, it says he knows our needs. And Matthew 7, 11, a verse here right across the page in my Bible, it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So first of all, as we address God as our Father, it connects us with someone that loves us and cares for us. We all have earthly fathers or had earthly fathers, and they cared for us, they loved us, but nothing like our Heavenly Father can and does. Let's move on to the next one. He says, "Hallowed be thy name." God is already holy. This prayer is not that God be made holy, but that he be regarded as holy. As we, it creates a reverence as we come before God. "Hallowed be thy name." It's like we give him our full attention, and we give him the, we know that he is all sufficient, and he is, God cannot be perfected any more than he is. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. God is good. He cannot build on or make himself any better. God is complete as he is. So we pray this, "Hallowed be thy name," in the sense that we want that his name is to be hallowed and is to be revered wherever it is in all of our doings and wherever people pray to God. Isaiah 57, 15 says the first part of that verse, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." Then the last part of that, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done." Nope. I'm not sure what I wrote there. But anyway, it's number 3. It's a different one. "Thy kingdom come, It is already here. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God when he was talking to the disciples and the people. And he refers to it in so many different, and it's a lot in the setting that he finds himself is how he refers to how the kingdom of God is or will be displayed. And Paul also addresses in his writings, and that talks about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read, there's many, quite a few of those scriptures. I'm going to go through them and read them simply to remind us. Before I do that, let's back up just a little bit here. Talking about his kingdom is here already. It's a spiritual kingdom. In Matthew 3:2, there's a verse. And this is John the Baptist preaching when he entered his ministry. This is what he said: "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Or I think the NIV says it is near, or at least one of the Bibles do that. Luke 17:21. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you," or the kingdom of God. And so it's changed back and forth. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven, sometimes the kingdom of God, and I think they mean the same thing. But here again, Jesus is, the Pharisees were confronting and questioning Jesus, and they ask him about when the kingdom of God should come. And so he answers them that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, "Lo here," or "Lo there," for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I believe he's saying there that his kingdom is spiritual, and they were probably looking that he was going to have an earthly kingdom. And so they're saying, "Where's this kingdom? When are you going to build your kingdom? We want to see it. We want to know it." And Jesus said, "No, you're not going to see it. If they say it's over here or over there, don't go, because it's not there. It's within you. And it's only within you if you are a believer." So obviously it wasn't in the Pharisees, because they were not believers. They were unrighteous, ungodly people. And so the kingdom of God can only be within those that have accepted Jesus Christ into their life. In John 3:5, again, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is wondering about how all this is going to take place, because Jesus said, "You have to be born again." And then Jesus tells him, "Except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you can't be a part of the kingdom of heaven." I didn't look all that up on the rest of that verse, but I believe that's what it says. And again, it's a spiritual change that takes place in your life if you want to be a part of God's kingdom. In Romans 14:17, he says, Paul is again addressing the people were debating about food and drink and eating because they're, whether it offended their brother or not. Paul was telling them that if meat offends my brother, I will abstain from eating meat as long as I live, and so on. And so he's telling them the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Again, the kingdom of God isn't something we can go touch, or we can go we'll go open the door and walk into the kingdom of God. In a sense, you do that when you accept Jesus, but on the other hand, literally, no. It's a spiritual part of our relationship with Jesus. And he says the real kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Having the saving knowledge and person of Jesus within us is what the kingdom of God is. And it gives us, these are the benefits we have of peace and joy through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20 again talks about the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power or authority. The word of God and the kingdom of God, there is authority involved there. 1 Corinthians 15:50, Paul is saying flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So in this body, as such, we will not enter the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God will enter into us through the Spirit of God. So simply he's telling them there that, and that's a portion of scripture we read either at a committal or at a funeral, and simply saying that he's telling us we're going to get a new body. And that's the only way that we can literally enter into the kingdom in the presence of God after this life. Okay, that was the first part of that. And that's what my letter I put there, I didn't decipher. That's the way it does or happens when you don't have this electronic stuff, I guess. Anyway, the second portion of that is, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Again, it revealed or it gives the idea that there's submission there. God's will, our prayer is that God's will would be done here on earth in the day-to-day operation and the keeping the earth going and so on. We're asking that God's will would be done. And also, just as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is no debate. There is no confusion. There is no quarreling. There is no arguing. There is nothing. It's perfect. And the angels and everyone that's in heaven, they work together in harmony and unity. And I think that's what Jesus meant. We pray for that here on earth as well. Submission to the will of God. Matthew 26:39 is where Jesus prayed in the garden. And he asked the Father that, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. A perfect picture for us to duplicate or to follow after, a model for us, the way that Jesus humbled himself and committed himself to the will of the Father. Matthew 12:50 is another verse. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Again, it gives the idea of doing the will of the Father as Jesus, that his will would be done on earth. It's a action phrase to do something and to be actively engaged. And you and I, as well as individual people, we have to actively participate and acknowledge that we need God and that we want to submit to his will, whatever that is in life. I know that's not necessarily always an easy thing that God might ask of us. A lot of times it's not. But if you want to have a good, vital fellowship with God, then we have to. It's a necessity that we do that. We submit under the authority of God. God has given us a will. God has given us a choice. I don't have to if I choose not to, but then I also will reap the consequences of that choice. But if I submit to the will of God, how nice things will flow. How much easier life is and how it will be. regardless of what I think of how hard it might be in what he would ask me to do. All right, we got halfway through. I thought we might get there, and it's time to close. So, as you go through your week and as you have your reading and so on, think about that. There's a whole lot more in there than what I am telling you or giving you. And again, it's a model. Someone said it's a disciples' prayer, but I still like the idea that it's a Lord's prayer because he's the one that designed it. He's the one that gave it and manufactured it as such or quoted it for us. And so I will continue to call it the Lord's Prayer myself. Do we have a closing song?
The first verse is 169 in the folder.
169 in the folder. And then we'll pray, and we will quote the Lord's Prayer together at the closing of the prayer then. So, let's stand. No, I'm sorry. We will pray, and then we will sing. Sorry. Thanks for people helping me. I need all the help I can get. Father in heaven, we're grateful this morning for who you are and for what you do. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, God, that you give us so, you have been so gracious and kind. You give us so many blessings that we do not deserve. And you forgive us our many sins and our debts. We are grateful for that. Lord, thank you for the peace, the joy. Thank you that you allow us to be a part of your kingdom. And thank you that your kingdom is living within us through the presence of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Thank you. Today, again, we pray that you would meet the needs of each person that is here and that you would bless them, help them to walk with you in sincerity and in truth. I pray for those that are not here today. I ask you to bless them in a special way where they are as well and help them to feel your presence where they are. I pray for safety for those that are traveling. Protect them, God. Help them to arrive safely and then bring them home safely as well. And again, we thank you for your words that you have given the disciples to pray, and it's been recorded for us to pray as well. And so, God, we want to bring these words to you and to honor you with them. As we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.